verse 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. And what I would like to do is to talk about the five views of Mark 16 and verse 16. Now, I don't know about you, but as I sit sometimes and I talk to friends or I talk to family or I talk to other folks that I'm meeting for the first time, and we open up the pages of the Bible, we open up the pages of inspiration, we begin to read it and we begin to talk and try to make personal application, as each and every one of us must do. And I've had people say sometimes, you know, things like, well, that's just your interpretation. That's your interpretation of the Scriptures. Or they'll say, well, that's just your view on that particular passage. And probably each and every one of us have heard that from time to time. And I certainly have on this particular verse as well. In Mark 16, verse 16, well, that's just your view. That's your interpretation of that passage. And there's been many times, on many occasions, I would simply ask the person, well, what's your view on Mark 16 and verse 16? And when it's all said and done, it's usually one of these five that we've got to camp around. And so what I would like to do this morning is I would just like to read it, and I'd like for us to talk about it, and I'd like for each of us to talk about each one of these views. And one of the great things God has done for us, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, that whereby when we read, we may understand the mystery of Christ. Just like the Apostle Paul understood it, you can read it. You can read the Word of God and you can understand it. God has given you that intellect. God does not appeal to your emotion. He does not appeal to your emotion. God appeals to your intellect. He's given you a mind and He has spoken to you so that you can read and you can understand what it is the will of the Lord is for you. But this passage just seems to be so plain and so simple. But yet it is so controversial that you'll rarely hear it referred to by denominational preachers. You'll never hear the televangelist talking about it. You'll never turn on the TV and hear a televangelist preach from Mark 16, verse 16, or even reference it. And if you do hear one of them speaking about it, they'll spend quite a bit of time explaining the exact opposite of what it says. As a matter of fact, it is so simple. It is so simple that you have to have somebody cloud your mind in regards to what Jesus said for you to misunderstand it. And just to prove that, let's read it. Let's read Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, and let's see what Jesus said in this passage. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, it says, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Well, I said there's five views on this passage. So let's very quickly get into each and every one of them, and then the lesson will be yours. So the five views of Mark 16, verse 16. And then at the end of this lesson, you and I need to understand that we're going to have to make up our mind. We have to make up our mind. Your view on the teaching of Jesus Christ in this passage. Jesus one time said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, He said, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day." And so each and every one of us has to leave here this morning understanding that one day I am going to be judged by this passage. I'm going to be judged by this passage. My application or obedience or disobedience to what the Lord has to say here. And so I want you to realize that there are a lot of folks who will tell you that what this verse really says is that he that believes and is baptized shall not be saved. There's some that believe that. Well, who might they be? Well, obviously, your modern day atheists who do not believe in God or believe in a heaven or hell or believe in any type of salvation certainly holds to this view. And unfortunately, it's becoming a larger and larger part of our population who believes this. Recently, I read a statistic that almost half of modern-day scientists and professors at colleges are admitted atheists. That is, they do not believe in God, and therefore they do not believe in an eternal soul and have no need for eternal redemption or salvation. That's what they believe. However, if I'm talking to people this morning, and I believe that I am, if I'm talking to people this morning who believe in passages such as Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 that says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," I believe I'm talking to people this morning who believe that. As the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, "For in Him we live and move and exist." As I think about some other passages like Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the works of His hands." And then in Psalm chapter 14, and verse 1, it says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Therefore, those of us who believe that there's a God and believe that there is salvation, those of us who believe that, I would hope, would not hold to this view. There are others, those who practice modern-day Judaism or Muslims or Hindus, who believe in God, but they believe that there's salvation in other places besides Jesus Christ, will hold to this view. But those of us who hold passages like John chapter 14 and verse 6, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man will come to the Father but by me. Anybody who believes and appreciates that there is a God and there is salvation and salvation through Jesus Christ would not hold to that view. But there are people who may hold to that view. "He that believes and is baptized shall not be saved." But then let's look at another one. Another one is this: "He that does not believe and is not baptized shall be saved." There are people, again, who hold to that view. As a matter of fact, the modern-day universalists hold to this view. And I think it was, a few years back, 5 or so years back, I don't remember exactly, but it was all over the news that a guy went into a universalist church and opened fire with a shotgun. What they teach is really, when it's all said and done, that everybody is going to be saved. I mean, that God is so full of love and grace and mercy that there is no way that you can truly contemplate that a loving God would send anybody to an eternal punishment or to a place called hell. There's just no way. And they'll take passages like 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, where the Apostle Paul said, who gave himself, that is Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. And they'll say, "See, he died for all." And he certainly did. He did die for all. However, that same Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it." It was also Jesus who said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus is saying, you know what? There's religious people who will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But then again, it was the Apostle Paul who said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Ladies and gentlemen, the wrath of God is coming. There is a heaven. And there is a hell, and not everyone is going to be saved. Jesus Christ died for your sins so that you might have the opportunity for eternal life, for everlasting life. And he now appeals to your intellect and for you to submit to his will and for you to submit to him in obedience. Therefore, those of us who understand those simple teachings of our Lord and His apostles would not hold to this view. But I want you to see that there are those who hold to that view, that he that does not believe and is not baptized shall be saved. Well, that's number two. What about number three? Well, number three is he that does not believe and is baptized shall be saved. Most of us would recognize that anyone who would hold on to the practice of infant baptism would hold to this particular teaching. That is, the child who is baptized is now in a saved state in the sight of God, although there is no power to believe. An infant cannot believe. There is no understanding at all. Those who hold such views would have to hold the view that faith is not a necessity. You don't have to have faith. Faith is not a necessity when it comes to salvation. Now again, some modern day denominations, to get away from the simple plain teachings of the Bible, they'll teach that what happens is the Holy Spirit imparts a believing faith upon this infant. The only problem with that is you don't read that anywhere in the Bible. You cannot find it in God's Word. That is, all we are interested in here is what the Word of God has to say. That's what we're interested in. Those who hold that view would have to hold the view that the baby is born in sin. That once a child is born, that baby's a sinner. That's the belief that you have to take, which is in complete contradiction. Complete contradiction to God's Word. Look with me, if you will, at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18, and look at what it says in verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins will die. Not the soul that is born. He doesn't say the soul that is born will die. No, he says the soul that sins will die. Look at verse 20. The person who sins will die. The Son will not bear the punishment for the Father's iniquity, nor will the Father bear the punishment for the Son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. You see, I cannot even get the sin of my father, my physical father, let alone the sin of Adam, as some would teach in the concept of original sin. So the Bible does not teach that infants are sinners or have the necessity of baptism. Infants are safe. They're safe. And as you think about infant baptism, typically they don't even baptize them anyway, do they? They don't even baptize them. Baptism is an immersion. That's what baptism means. Baptism means to immerse or to dip. But what do? They'll just sprinkle a little water on the forehead, or they'll pour just a little bit of water on the forehead of that infant. But then what about Colossians chapter 2, verse 12? Having been buried with him in baptism. Baptism is a burial. But yet there are a lot of people who believe that they can sprinkle, or they can just pour a little water on somebody and therefore it'll just be okay. He who does not believe and is baptized shall be saved. Look at Acts chapter 8. Look at Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. And notice what we have in this text. In Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to them. As they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Why? Why did he do that? Because Jesus said in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." But there are those in the world that will tell you that as long as you are baptized, you'll be saved. Number four, he that believes and is not baptized shall be saved. By the way, do you see how you have to butcher the words of Jesus to get some of these religious doctrines taught by men today? You literally have to butcher the words of Jesus to get to some of these points. I just want you to appreciate how you have to do that. You've got to completely butcher what Jesus said to get to these doctrines. He that believes and is not baptized shall be saved. Maybe that's what Jesus meant by that. There's a lot of people that believe that. But again, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, he said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Why do we do that? Why? Why does Jesus give us plain and simple instructions of what I need to do, but I just don't do it? Why? Well, look at Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, and look what Paul has to say about this. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. When was it made free? When was it made free? When I believed the doctrine? When I believed the teaching? No, sir. When you obeyed the doctrine. When you obeyed the doctrine. I'm going to have to get around to doing what God said. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Like it or not, I'm going to have to get around to doing what the Savior said if I want to be saved. James chapter 2, verse 24. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. But there's a lot of preachers out there that will tell you that you are saved by faith only, even though the Bible says that you're not. You are not saved by faith only. Faith is an essential part, absolutely. But you're not saved by faith only. We're going to have to get around to making up our minds. Who are we going to believe? Who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the preacher on television? Are we going to believe the person, whoever's in the pulpit? And I've said this before, don't believe everything I say. Don't take everything I say as golden. Study these things for yourself to see whether or not the things that I say up here in this pulpit are true. I'm a human being. I make mistakes. And the last thing I want to do is present false doctrine from this pulpit. So look these things up for yourself to see whether or not they're true. But you know, I hear people say, oh, the preacher I grew up listening to, he was such a great person. He had these great sermons. He always made me laugh. I just got so much out of his sermons. Well, am I going to believe his words? Or am I going to believe the words of Jesus, who was perfect, who did not sin, who is going to be the one that's going to judge me one day? Who am I going to listen to? We're going to have to make up our own mind about that, aren't we? Again, in Romans chapter 6, look at verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Do you want to walk in newness of life before you leave here this morning? Then be baptized in Christ and obey the words of our Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Does the Bible really say that? Does the Bible really say that? Yes, it really does. It really does. That is not Kevin Wynn saying that. That is God saying that. And you see, as you read those passages and you read the simple words of our Lord, you see how they complement one another. They're not in contradiction with one another at all. They all agree with one another. There are, however, in contradiction and in contrast to what a lot of people are saying, and a lot of views on this particular passage. He that believes and is not baptized shall be saved. One more, and we'll all be finished. Maybe, just maybe, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus is trying to say this. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What do you think? Do you think that maybe that's what he meant? Is there any further explanation needed for that? It's pretty simple. Look at Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, which is really a parallel passage to that. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. Jesus said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." As his apostles who received this instruction in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and Mark chapter 16 verse 16, what did they do? What did they do when they received this instruction? Well, in Acts chapter 2 verse 37, when the people asked, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we need to do in order to be saved?" Peter said in Acts chapter 2 verse 38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in order to have your sins forgiven." When you go a bit further to Acts chapter 8 and verse 5, and in verse 12 and in verse 13, "And Philip went down to Samaria to preach Christ to them." I read that when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. In Acts chapter 10, when Cornelius summoned the apostle Peter, I read in Acts chapter 10 and verse 48 that he commanded them to be baptized. Why? Because Jesus told them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, you read where Lydia and her whole household were all baptized. And then in verse 33, when the Philippian jailer, after he was taught the word of God, went out the same hour of the night and he was baptized. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, I read that many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and were baptized. Acts chapter 19 and verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then the Apostle Paul asked in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. He was asked, "Why do you delay? Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." We see very clearly what the Lord said. We see what the apostles teach. And we can see what the people did. How much more plain can God make it for me? How much more plain can He make it? How much more plain can God make it for you? You see, five views of a very, very simple passage. And each and every one of us are going to have to make up our mind on which view we hold. Which one of these views do you hold? He that believes and is baptized shall not be saved. He that does not believe and is not baptized shall be saved. He that does not believe and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes and is not baptized shall be saved. Or is it what Jesus actually said? He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. The simple question is, what will you do today? What are you going to do today? I'm not saying that you can just hold any one of these views and go to heaven, because you can't. You can't just pick one and say, "I'll go with that one and be fine." What I'm saying is that God God has given us the ability to choose. And what are we going to do? Which one are we going to choose? We are going to be judged by the Word of God. That's what we're going to be judged by. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." So which one of these views do you want to die holding on to? Think about that. Think about that. Do you want to die holding on to the view of your preacher? Or do you want to die holding on the view of what God said? It's your choice. You see, it is too simple. It is too simple to miss. But we want to make it complicated. We want to make it complicated. And there's far too much false teaching out there. Again, I asked you, do you want to hold on to what your family has said? Or to what some preacher has said? Or do you want to hold on to what God said? Choice is yours. And you will have to live with that choice. And you will stand before God on the choices that you make. Now let me ask you, do you want to stand before the Lord Himself? Do you want to stand before the very one who said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved," and tell him that he's wrong? Good luck with that. Good luck in telling Jesus that he was wrong. But that's your choice, and you're going to have to live with it. So you make that choice. You make the choice. If you're here this morning and you have not yet obeyed this command of God, why not? We've seen how very simple the teaching of Jesus is on this subject. We just looked at so many passages in the book of Acts where they heard the word and they were baptized. They were baptized. Why? Because the apostles went about preaching what Jesus taught them, and he said, "Go make disciples," baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what they did. They did. They followed that. Now, are you going to follow Jesus as well? Are you going to repent of your sins? Are you going to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior? And are you going to make that choice to follow Jesus' command and come to His invitation and become one of His children by being baptized into Christ? Again, the choice is yours. You make that choice right now as together we stand and as we sing.